Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy to us. We ask your blessing upon us this morning as we open your word. Give us wisdom, Father. Help us, Lord, I pray, to learn of thee in our hearts, Father. Lord, give us words to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll bring greetings to you in Jesus' precious name this morning. Blessed by the music today, the songs we sing. Faith can almost hear his footfall. That's just a blessing stood out to me this morning. I just want to praise him. Let's open our Bibles this morning. Don't know that I've got just one complete message. It's just going to be maybe a message of sundrous or various thoughts this morning. Sundry thoughts. We'll just see how it all turns out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Bible verse that the children are memorizing this morning. I want to use this word here, this Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43. Ye have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I think there's a lot of trouble on both sides of the fence of perfection. On the one hand, you have the evangelicals, and they say that nobody's perfect and nobody can be perfect. And so they just run to the Calvinistic ideas of grace and say, there's not even any use in trying, because there's no way we can be perfect. And they see themselves as not being perfect, so they hardly even enter the race of trying to be like Christ. Then on the other hand, there's people that have an idea of perfectness, and they try all they can to fit that perfectness, and when they fall short of it, they become disillusioned and discouraged. And I think there's a real fear that having overcome the one of not being perfect and recognizing that we are not perfect in the sense of flawless, that instead of entering the race or not entering the race, we strive for this same level of perfectness that the evangelicals or the would accept as not being attainable, and we try to obtain that, but we still try on the same level, seeking after the same perfectness that they say cannot be attainable. That sounds real confusing. I hope to get it a little clearer as we go on just for a minute. Whenever we look at the word perfect, it is not flawlessness. When God talks about perfectness, it is not being without being a human. The perfectness that God expects is to make decisions with a perfect heart, to make the right choices, to recognize and do that which is right, not to form a perfect religion and then just walk lockstep in everything that is right in front of us. The evangelicals see that as trying to keep the law, to please God and be perfect. And I think there's some that have tried to do that among us, have tried to keep that or to nail down the perfectness that's in that law. And strive to do that. And then when they stumble, they get really discouraged. I know of two or three people that have left the faith, that they left after they stumbled. They left after they fell down. And they realized that they weren't perfect. But what they realized, or they didn't realize, was that's not the perfectness that God was talking about. When we talk about living a life above sin, it's not a life that you just never fail anymore. It's a life that strives to live perfect, to live with the same heart that God had in everything. It's not to have everything nailed down, and I think we do ourselves a lot of harm by trying just to nail every little thing down and every little situation down. That does nothing but bring strife. And it causes us to argue and debate about things that the next situation you come to will not even be like the situation you're at. But if you have a principle of a perfect heart, you'll just act the way you're supposed to when you face that situation. Instead of trying to create a situation that's perfect, walk perfectly before God. Do that which is right. And when every man will do that which is right, we don't have to have everything nailed down. We don't have to have the answer to every question. We don't have to come up with all these hypotheses or these what ifs that come at us continually. What if? Well, what if? It doesn't matter. When we're walking perfect, when that comes, we'll know what to do. We can go to the Lord and find out the answer. But when we have to have everything so nailed down, many people get discouraged with that. They've got to have it nailed down. Faith is something that we live day to day. It's not something you just have nailed down. It's something that we're going to have to keep and do and live by all of our lives. The just shall live by faith. They won't just obtain it once. They won't get it nailed down once. They won't have all their understanding fixed at once. They'll have a faith that walks and does that which is right. Blessed this morning, just before church, Brother Steve was telling about Abraham and the account of Josephus about Abraham and how Abraham was basically a philosopher in his city that he lived in. We don't get all of that from the Bible. Josephus, a historian at the time, a Jewish historian, that his history of the Jews fits right along with the Bible. He was a Jew. He was a historical Jew. And his writings, it's just like reading the Bible, but there's some things that he puts in there that the Bible just doesn't. And he gave the detail of Abraham, that Abraham lived in the country that his father he grew up in, and Abraham was a wise man, or considered to be in that country, well respected, kind of a philosopher, but he lived in a land where everyone worshiped their own little gods. They were idolatrous. This was just something that the Jewish people would have understood about Abraham that we don't always get. And Abraham began to look and see how things all work together in nature. And he began to realize that there was one God above all things. That all these little gods were just division. And they were nothing but stones and idols. Abraham heard God speaking through nature. And God found him. You say, well, that's kind of wild. Well, is it? Well, the Bible doesn't say that, so I can't accept it. But look at what the Bible does say. Doth not nature itself teach you these things? Man is without excuse because nature even teaches us about the one God who created all things. The Bible teaches us that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching them, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly. Abraham saw these things out in the midst of an ungodly people that were worshiping idols. And he began to teach the people about there's only one God. All of your gods are false. He didn't have a Bible to show him all these things. He heard God. He saw God by faith out in the middle of a faithless world all by himself. And God saw that this man recognized and heard his voice. And God spoke to him and told him to get up and leave and go out of that place. And he did by faith. He didn't have God all boxed in a box. He saw the magnificence of God. And he walked in that. Abraham made some mistakes. We read about them. But he knew there was a God. And he knew the heart of God. And he walked in it. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. This few verses we have ahead of it isn't telling us a principle of laws. It's showing us. You've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Which way is best? Which way is a higher calling? Return evil for evil? How many of you just naturally know among your own children, if you just observe your children and one of them does wrong and the other one takes and does the same thing back to them, Which one of them did wrong? We might say to the one, well, you deserve what you got. Didn't you just do that to your brother? Don't you deserve that? But yet to the other, we would say, two wrongs don't make it right. Isn't that just the natural response of a parent? Do you want both your children to have black eyes or just one of them? The other one may have deserved to get his blackened because he was the provoker. But just because he deserves it doesn't mean you want the other one carrying it out. Parents are supposed to take care of that. What would happen if your children just every time somebody did something wrong to them, they'd just turn around and do the same thing? What if someone stole from them? Well, you go steal something from theirs sometime when they're not looking. We all know that that's not the way to respond to that. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's what they were taught. But doth not nature itself teach you that that's not the highest way to do things? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Is that really that revolutionary? If we would just look at things? No, it's a right response. And it fits with what we know. That's the blessing of it. Have a perfect heart. Learn these principles. I think sometimes we spend so much time learning, we forget to hear. I'm thankful that I didn't have a whole shelf of all the early Christian writings before I was saved from my sin, before I was saved from this world. It taught me to hear God and listen to what He has to say. That's why we teach people that, no, we don't follow the early Christians. No, we don't follow the Anabaptists. The blessing of reading them and seeing them is that we've came to a lot of the same conclusions. That's what blesses me when I hear of stories of old. When I heard this about Abraham, I felt a kinship with Abraham because I've heard the same voice from Abraham saying, come out. That's why when we go out on the streets, we're fishing. We're not trying to save everybody out there. We're throwing out things that fit with the grace that brings salvation, that teaches men to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Oftentimes we're challenged, well, that isn't a scriptural verse, or that, what you're saying, quoted. That's not how it's quoted. Well, that's not what we're out there doing. We're out teaching a basic principle of perfection and seeing who is hearing that voice. That out of all the confusions in the world, that the different religions and the different denominations and the different flavors, we're just throwing out a little hook with a little bite of truth on it and seeing who will hear that truth. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Does that ring true with what we know is right? Anybody can do good to those right in their own little group. I've seen people in bars, if their buddies get in trouble, do you know where their buddies are? They all gang right up. And they stand with their buddy. Their buddy has trouble. They're right there to help him. Buddy needs some help. They're right there to help him. Church member need help, they're right there to help them. It's no great thing. Great thing is when you go on past that. Help those who can't help themselves. Help those that are your enemies. Verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. How does our Father deal with things like that? It rains on the good and the evil. It rains on the hard-working farmer's corn crop, and it rains on the dope-smoking hippies' marijuana crop. God is good to all. And He's speaking to all. God sends His rain on the just and the unjust. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. We need a discernment. Paul talks about it in Timothy, and he says that we should rightly divide the Word of God. Doesn't mean that we should rightly have it all sectioned up so that we know everything we're going to do and every step, that we should rightly divide it. We should be walking in a way with a pure heart, seeking after the Lord to obey Him. We sometimes try to create our own religion, create our own circumstances, instead of just walking by faith. And it isn't healthy. Sometimes we almost seem ashamed because we might have it a little better than someone else. So we try to make this perfect world and we feel guilty because someone has maybe a little more than we do, or sometimes people are envious about having more than what I do. And sometimes we feel guilty when someone has a little less than I do. I think we need to be careful that we're not acting out of guilt whenever we try to create an equality among men or among ourselves. I don't think that's scriptural at all. That I have to be the poorest person in the world to be accepted. We need to learn to be thankful and content in where we're at. Help those who need help. Do what we can with a perfect heart to follow the Lord. Not try to create a perfect situation to follow the Lord. Or to be what a perfect Christian in our own mind. Be perfect. Hear the Lord and follow Him by faith. Not try to create a Christianity that we can't live up to. That eventually you look around you and you see, well, wait a minute, this person's doing that, and that person's doing that. Pretty soon we have no fellowship among ourselves because they're not filling up that perfect Christianity that I see. So we begin to pick off one after another of the people that we might have fellowship with and might have faith with because, well, you know, they're just not perfect. And I'm striving to be perfect. So I just can't have, they're not striving as hard as I am. The ultimate end of that, after you've got all isolated by yourself, There isn't nobody to look out and leave. Then you begin to see your own flaws. And you realize you're not that either. And people get discouraged by that because they had the wrong ideas. So they wind up just going completely away. I thought of the idea this morning. There's so many things. The difference between a combine and a manure spreader. We live in a world, I've heard people say, well, I'm in hell. No, 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 you're not in hell. There's a lot of bad things in this world, but there's a lot of good things in it too. In hell, there's no good things because God isn't there. In heaven, there's no bad things because the curse of sin and the devil isn't there. It's perfect. You know, we may be surprised, but heaven is basically going to have people in it too. And it's not going to be maybe where there's just a perfectly flawless situation. But it'll be perfect. I just don't think we can even imagine what it'll be. Said people that are in heaven are there because they want to be. Because they've chosen. Because of their principles. They're going to be there and they're going to make the right decisions. Because they want to be there. Because that's the way God is. I don't know how it'll be. We need to be thankful for what God has given us. You know, we look at our situations in our life and there's good things happening in everything. We need to be like a combine. A combine sorts out the chaff and the straw and the dirt and the weeds. And only the grain's left. The manure spreader just slings everything out. We need to be discerning enough not just to sling everything out because it's got some bad mixed in with it. We need to discern. We need to rightly divide. You know, even among false teachings, they'll have a few good teachings in them. They'll have a few right teachings in them. Well, praise the Lord for the good ones. Find God in the good ones. I'm thankful that we all were, as far as I know, were brought up where there was a Bible. That there was some answers to our searching for God. I'm thankful that we can find Christ defined in the Bible. It's a blessing. It's been a blessing to learn in all the different situations that we've had to learn through to get as far as we have. The struggles, the fights, that we have to go through to learn when we walk by faith. It's a blessing. I think we need to I just remember picking up, we were talking about it the other day, Brian Minter, just out of a horrible situation. And whenever he got in my car, whenever I first saw him, I thought, oh boy, what a loser. Just came all this way to pick up this loser. I just had him pictured, and he was just about what he pictured. But he got in the car and he said, you know, out of all the people I know, why in the world God would show me what he's shown me? Why is God bothering me? That I can see that this is all wrong. Why? Me? Why do I hear this voice calling me out of this? Why do I see right and wrong? Why do I see the hypocrisy that's all around me in religion? Even after he got here, saw that among some people that were with us, there's some hypocrisy here. But he also saw that there were still people that were seeking the truth. Thank you. be ye therefore perfect. It's a principle. Perfectness is the faith. It's not having everything nailed down. It's not having a rule book. It's not even having a book of laws. Perfectness is hearing God. How do we know the Bible's true? Because the words that Christ speaks are what our hearts are telling us that the Spirit is speaking to. You can't trace it back to a perfect situation. It was never meant to be that way. It's the guide that helps those who are, gives answers to those who have heard God. And it's the guide to lead us to a more full. The Bible talks about the shadows of the Old Testament. They were just a shadow of God. And then when Christ came, the light that caused that shadow was among us. And now He's left us the things that He's spoken. To guide us to where He is. Testament, a shadow. Be ye therefore perfect. Hear Him, see Him. You know, I think that's a blessing that we have living in a more rural setting where we can see nature. That's hard to see in a city. Think about it sometimes. Cities, why? I mean, the Bible didn't speak very high of cities. They began to build cities. And you think, well, people these cities, and I've just thought about this. People go to cities because there's no conscience in a city. Outside of whatever they want to create for themselves. They can't just look out at nature. They look out at buildings. They look out at masses of people who know nobody and don't care if they know anybody or not. They can do things and live ways where nobody cares. They can say things. You live in a little village or a small place. Everybody knows what everybody else is doing. These mega churches, the same way. It's a blessing to live where people know what everyone else is doing. It helps people have a conscience. It helps people to know that there's some accountability for the way they live. And all you got to do in the city is just keep from getting caught because nobody else cares. Just so you don't do it in front of a policeman. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Hear God. To hear God takes some quietness. It's no wonder the devil invented the earphones. You can just keep stuff pumped in your mind continually. You don't have to think anymore. I remember my life been so busy before I became a disciple. And I remember just going into a room and just shutting the lights off and just sitting there. And just thinking. Just clearing my mind from everything going on in the world. And just thinking. Just shutting everything that around me, not some kind of meditation or anything like that, that tried to drain my mind of everything. But just letting my mind settle to where I could see what was real. If I would think of anything that probably helped me to really start thinking right, it was just to sit back and let everything else go and just think. What it's all about. What is life? What is right? What is wrong? What is good? What is evil? Then follow the desire to do that which is right. May the Lord add His blessings. thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing on these various thoughts, Father. Thank you for them. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone have anything they'd like to...